at night.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Paris Cocktail Talk, the show brought to you by the 52 Martinis Guide to Paris Cocktail Bars. I'm Forrest Collins, and I'm here to talk to you about cocktailing in the French capital and bring you other small batch spirits news from France and beyond. So, who is ready for Rumfest? If you're not familiar with Rumfest, it is basically just like it sounds. It's a big salon and it's dedicated to rum. It's happening this month in Paris from 7 to 9 April at the Parc Floral. And we'll put some links in the show notes so you can get more detail on that. But I highly recommend that you visit it. Rumfests, I think, are notoriously the funnest of all spirit salons. Everybody's always in a good mood. It's a good chance to taste a lot of different rums from different places side by side. So get out there and check it out. And in celebration of Rumfest, I am really excited to introduce you to today's guest, which is Alexandre Vintier. Alexandre is one of the most knowledgeable spirits experts I know. He's written multiple books on the subject, including one of the recent ones on today's topic called 120 Rums. He's the founder and editor-in-chief of Rum Porter magazine, and he's involved in a lot of other spirits-related publications and projects. I will put a link to more of his bio information also in the show notes. He was also a guest on one of our other episodes on rum, so if you haven't listened to that one, go back after this one and give that a listen. Anyway, today we're going to pick his brains on a specific subject that I find very interesting, which is rum agricole. For my listeners outside of France and maybe some of those inside France, you might not be really all that familiar with what this is and what differentiates it from regular from the rum that you're familiar with. I wrote an article late last year for Drinks International, and I predicted that it's something that we will be hearing a lot more about in the near future. So it's a subject that's kind of close to my heart. And I also think given its connections to France, it's a really perfect topic to cover on our show. So with that, I'll say welcome, Alexandre.
Hello.
Thanks for taking the time to come down and speak with me. So last time when we talked for the show, we talked about rum in general, and you talked a little bit about what makes rum rum. Can you give the listeners a brief explanation of the difference between rum and rum agricole?
Rum agricole is a type of rum.
Yeah, what differentiates it from maybe a molasses-based rum, the rum that most people would be used to drinking or trying?
So rum as a sugar cane spirit is can either be made from residuals from the sugar industry, in this case molasses, or directly from the culture of the sugar cane. So it can be either syrup or it can be pure juice. The very different things with rum agricole is a bit like treating sugar cane like a fruit, actually. So you keep it fresh. So it's fresh cane juice, which is fermented. So it's never heated. Mm-hmm. So there is no sterilization of the juice. There is no concentration of the sugar. That's just like if you drink real fruit juice and if you have other stuff. So that's the big difference. And of course, you'll have much more varietal aromas from different type of sugarcane, from the soil, because like grapes, sugarcane express its terroir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something I wanted to ask you about a little bit. We often do hear that, or I often do hear that in my reading, that rum agricole is a spirit that really expresses the terroir. So is there anything else that you think is important to mention about that? How the terroir is reflected in the finished product?
It's just the thing is that now we are in a different set of mind when talking about producing rum agricole. Before, we were making rum agricole with the best suitable sugarcane according to the soil and rainy seasons and so on to the climate. So it was just to make as much sugar from the sugarcane, from the soil. Now it's different. We take like wine, the wine influence, and talk about parcels, vintage, and so on. And so we can say, okay, I prefer here on this type of soil and so on, the blue cane, the red cane. So it's a bit like going from Cabernet to Merlot or something like that. And so that's the real thing. Also, terroir is not only the soil and the climate and the vegetal material, it's also how humans, producers, interpret it. So mm-hmm. it's very important. Now we are starting to really interpret, understand and now interpret those terroirs and making parcels. And actually some producers do parcellar bottlings. So it's very interesting to see the same cane in parcel A and B and then from vintage 2017 to 2018 and so on and so on. Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about, there's one designated designated origin, Rhum Agricole, which is Martinique?
Martinique is the only AOC, AOP now in the European. Yeah.
Can you explain a little bit what that means to the listeners?
It means it's very tight, very strictly controlled. The process, the varietals of sugarcane, the type of soil, it doesn't come from all over Martinique. It's only the best part of Martinique which can grow sugarcane that will go to through the process of crushing, fermentation, distillation, and perhaps aging, and all of that is tightly controlled. The same as cognac or Bordeaux wine and so on is the same idea. Then AOC or AOP now in European legislation. Then you have a stage under which we use now in France, for instance, or in Europe also for. Or rum from Guadeloupe or Réunion Island or French Guiana, which is the same level of restriction as Scotch whiskey, technically, even though here we, in France, for GI, geographic indication, we only use raw materials from the island, from the territory, whereas Scotch whiskey can be made with any type of barley from anywhere in the world. It's a bit more... that's why we call it traditional rum, actually. This is very French, this movement with the appellation and so mm-hmm. on. Of course, it was highly developed in Bordeaux. It was very important because of the trade, especially with the British Empire and so on. So to make it recognizable as a common brand for producer and also for négociants and bottlers and so on, to protect it collectively and to avoid fakes or any cuts. Because, yes, Martinique at the origin was a style of rum like Jamaica, which was often cut with lighter rums. Okay. So you were tasting Martinique, but that was not pure Martinique. Now right. The movement with the AOC guarantees you pure Martinique. That's very, very important.
So if the listeners are out there and they're shopping for one of these rums, it's important to look for... Is it important for them to look for the Rhum Agricole AOP? And how will they know? Is it because it's the letters are capitalized? How will the end... drinker know that they're getting AOP Rhum Agricole?
Hey, there is a little trick here because some people in Martinique do not follow all the rules. Uh-huh. So we have another set of rules for Martinique, which is also a geographical indication. It means maybe you played a little too much with weird woods or stuff like that, which are not in the AOC. So AOC is traditional. You have to be local, constant, and loyal. Mm-hmm. So that's the issue. That's the issue. So if you try to change things too fast, you go to a lower protection, which is a GI. So the AOC will have appellation Martinique contrôlée or appellation d'origine contrôlée on the bottle, and it will have a logo featuring the island.
Okay.
Yeah. Otherwise, it can be written coming from Martinique and written as Rhum Agricole and Martinique, but not appellation. There's no word with appellation on it.
So for these maybe lesser protected, the GI as opposed to the AOP, is that indicated on there? Or do we just assume anything kind of from Martinique or former French territories is under this? So I understand how you differentiate the bottles that are AOP, AOC. Now, beyond that, GI, how do you tell that?
Normally, you should put, if you belong to AOC or GI, you have to put it. So you write AOC Martinique, or the other one would be Martinique, and it's Antilles-Française.
Okay.
Yeah. French-Caribbean.
So how do other rum made in the same style, for example, there's rum that's made in Thailand, and it's made from sugarcane juice. Is that still called a rum agricole, or how does that fit in there?
So, it's fresh sugarcane juice. Mm-hmm. Can be diluted to control more the fermentation and so on, but yeah, fresh. I insist on that because some other people, they use pure sugarcane juice, but it's not fresh. It's been sterilized. So, it's been cooked. So
right.
If you eat it, you kill the natural yeast and stuff like that. So you bring in other wild yeast, not the yeast from the sugarcane. It's a bit different. Yes, you can have a lot of different countries now also producing, traditionally or not, rum from sugarcane juice. One other example is Rum Agricola da Madeira from Madeira,
okay,
which is now coming back. So not maybe at this Rum Fest, but I hope next year.
Okay.
They will come, I hope.
Madeira, hopefully they're listening.
Madeira is a fascinating island, and it might be the cradle of rum, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Or at least sugarcane spirits, yeah. So this also exists as Rum Agricole, because Rum Agricole in European Union is protected for European Union producers.
Okay.
So technically, French West Indies or French Guiana or Réunion is French territory and European territory.
Okay.
Which is not the case with Netherlands or some of the UK territories.
Right.
Which are UK territories, but not European Union.
For us,
it's the same. It's same citizenship, same laws and everything. So it's European. Also, what's very important is that it's European standard for environment and social issues as well, which is not the case for some territories. So it's very high standards of production. And then the other countries like Thailand have their own sets of regulation. So they don't regulate the word agricole. So locally, you can use it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you export it to Europe, you cannot use the name agricole.
Okay.
Because you have to have some standards.
Right.
And you have to be, it has to be produced in Europe. So you can have more issues, but they cannot export it to us. But they could export to the US with the word agricole.
Okay.
In the US, it's not protected.
Right, so, but they can still export here, but they'll just call it rum or something else.
Yeah, pure juice, rum.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Rum de pur jus, you often see on the bottles. Yeah.
Okay. For some of our listeners, I mean, we're talking about it in terms of technical details. Can you give a general idea of flavor profiles? I know it's hard. I know it's difficult because there's so many different ones, but can you give the listeners an idea of kind of what makes rum agricole taste different than molasses-based rum in general? I mean, I do understand that that each one is going to taste slightly differently, but I have some ideas how I might explain it to people, but you're the expert, so.
Yeah. If I were to do some comparison, I would say molasses might be dry resins, you know, like sultanas or something like that, whereas here you have fresh juice or like wine. So it's very, very different. Yeah. So it appears less sweet. It's usually dry, very dry actually, compared to even if a Jamaican rum has no added sugar by law locally, it seems sweet sometimes because of the molasses taste. Treacle molasses is sweet, but sugarcane juice is still there in the agricole, but it has more vegetal floral notes. For sure. Also the mineral profile, which you don't usually find in molasses. Molasses rum or syrup rums tend to be more round in a way, except the Jamaicans are very pungent and so on and so on. They are the exception. But some of the Jamaicans also are quite light, maybe some Appleton. Yeah, it's fruity, but that's more citrusy. We can have much more fruit, I think, in the style of agricole. But then, yeah, Agricole express more the raw materials. Where when you use molasses, you try to create more profile, flavor profile, build up the aromatic components with yeast. So the type of fermentation is very, very important in these times.
Okay. Yeah, and I think for me, you really hit on it when you said vegetal, floral. For listeners who haven't tried it and they're wondering if they should, you know, take the plunge and try it, I do think that it's got like a positive, funky, vegetal, floral side to it in general. But also depending on if it's white or maybe if it's been aged a bit, do you want to talk a little bit about maybe the difference in clear or white rum agricole or something that's there's ombre, right? Or
oh la la, there are a lot. No. Yes, the white are very, usually the white are locally consumed at 50% or so of alcohol, so 100 American proof. That's stronger. Well, maybe not. Jamaicans are used to 63. So yeah, usually locally you would have 50, 55, 59, 62%. Now there is also a trend for straight from the column. So 70-75%.
A trend for putting that for selling that bottled straight from the column?
Yeah. And for very special batch, for exceptional batch and so on. Yes, yeah, that's quite tasty, okay. For sure. But not that burning, actually. When you try it straight from the column, you have much more fatty elements and so on that goes on. So yes, it's very strong, but it can be less dry and less burning.
Okay,
surprisingly. So that's for the white. Now there is a trend in French supermarket to have it at 40. Because yes, people here in the metropole are not that used to this strong, pungent nose. And usually we drink it in tiponche, so with some sugar and a little lime. So lime juice and oils, very important to have both, not only the juice. It's not a daiquiri.
So the juice and the oils, is that just for flavor reasons or texture reasons? What do the oils add to the tea punch?
Oils pair much better with agricole, technically. You don't really need the profile, the flavor profile from the juice. The juice might just rebalance, bring in some acidity, just to rebalance with the sugar and stuff like that. But technically, that the really look for high quality lemon peel.
Okay.
Lime peel, better.
Good to know.
And so, yes, you have all this white, so you have so many different because of the strengths and so on, and the origin, of course. And then the aging, we have what we called brown, which is just has been a few months in wood, not especially barrels, but just wood, oak. And then you have the élevé sous bois, which is just like 1 year, or amber rums commercially. And then if you say old, it has to be aged 3 years in a barrel. So not just this last vat, but really in a barrel. And then you can play, it can go to 20 years or 30 years old also, because we have this knowledge of long aging and, because of the cognac tradition and so on. So there is lots of interaction between experts also from the different appellations. To manage the aging, and then we can play with the wood finishes, so we can take a Sauternes or Red Bordeaux or Petit Malt Cask or stuff like that, so or even Moscatel. And now there's also a trend with other woods like acacia woods and so on. It's very, very it's a wide jungle now. In terms of flavors.
Do you think people here in France appreciate the difference between rum agricole and rum in general? What do you think that here in Paris, actually, the normal Paris person going out in bars, what is their relationship to rum agricole? Do they realize that it's sort of a differentiated category within rum, or all rums the same?
It really depends on the person. There is no typical rum consumer. We have the most developed market in the world for premium or high-end rum. So less maybe in for cocktail rums in Germany or in the US, but for sipping rum and so on, we are by far the most developed offer. So yes, we have all these molasses, syrup, agricole. We have nearly all those types. We have even rum from Laos or Thailand or some from Australia, or anywhere, Paraguay. We nearly have everything. So we have so many types. People like some sweets. People like some dry Latin rum because you have both style, and not only the very sweet one, but also some very dry, like Havana Club, for instance. Then you have molasses is really building up, but people tend to know less because we had less distribution of the English speaking countries. It's building up. We have more and more independent bottlers also, so people get more and more into this funky molasses age, very old. People like very old things or very high strength bottling, single cask, a bit like whiskey in a way.
Right.
So it's difficult to say, yes, what people sell most would be, yes, Diplomatico, Don Papa, of course, also the Bacardi and the Havana Club. But then, yeah, the rum agricole is very strong also in its market. Yeah,
I think it's really interesting. And like I said, I've been developing a greater appreciation for it. I was really not familiar. I had no understanding of it when I first moved here. That was 15 years ago, over, you know, a decade now. I've slowly developed a better understanding and appreciation. But I know there's probably still people out there like me that aren't really familiar with it. So is there a way that you would suggest people who would like to learn more jump into it? Do they just go to Rumfest and taste a lot? Is there a particular brand that you think is a good entry point for people who are curious? What would you recommend?
Of course, if you're in France or in Europe, you have to come to Rumfest.
Absolutely.
I think it's the largest offer for tasting. So you can have any type, also the spice, the arrangé. Rum is rum is so wide compared to two other categories in this definition. Then you have, what to try if you want really to try some agricole. A lot of people can enjoy maybe the lighter ones because you have some heavy agricole and some which are a bit lighter and more consistent also in terms of style. So that's also the big success of a rum from Guadeloupe called Damoiseau. The 50% Damoiseau is very consistent and is a bit lighter. You know, you have less these heavy oils. So by the way, it's distilled also. So it's usually a good point to start with. You know, to have this coconut water taste with sugar cane, with a little lime and so on. So you just add a little raw sugar. Not white. I don't like white sugar. Mm-hmm. I prefer to have some raw sugar in your tea punch, and that's a good way to start, or to do a cocktail. Huh? You can do a daiquiri. It's easier to do a daiquiri with it, or a caipirinha. I mean, anything with sugar and lime
works very easy
with any white
trio.
Spirit. Yeah. And then, yes, of course, bon, if you want to have something which is just for tasting, like someone who loves a fruit brandy, for instance, yes, you can have for... You just look for the small batch or limited edition of white agricole, and then yes, this is much more in the perspective of fruit brandy. So very wide in terms of flavors, very bold, very long, really powerful. So sometimes it's too much for people. So maybe try
too much in terms of flavor explosion,
intensity, and vegetal. People are not that used to vegetal spirits, technically.
I think that rum agricole can be surprising, this vegetal side to it. I think that sometimes people can mistake that as it tastes strange or bizarre, but I think it's really interesting once you learn to appreciate it. It's like cheese. You know, sometimes people say, oh, that stinks, but it's really actually got this great... You know, it really tastes great. So I think sometimes there's conflicting messages in your brain. Oh, this tastes strange. Do I like it? And it takes a while to come around. But
A bit like tequila or mezcal, also.
Sure, yeah.
You have some light agricole rum are a bit like light 100% agave tequila. Some are milder, medium, so like real Tahona style tequila. And then you have funky, very terroir things, a bit more like Jamaican rums and so on. So yes, they are not for everybody, definitely.
All right. Well, I am really looking forward to Rumfest. I always like going. Do you have any tips for me?
Speed. Definitely.
That's a very good tip.
And then you bring a lot of cards because you always meet a lot of people there.
Yeah, those are very, very good tips. I try to make kind of a plan of action when I go into these places. Like, I'm just going to taste from this area, or I'm just going to, I don't know, taste things I haven't tried, or this or that. So I'll be developing my plan of action soon, but I will see you there for sure. Now, I think we're wrapping up on time pretty closely. So is there anything else that you want to say? Something that you think is important that I missed? I mean, I know that it's a huge topic and I encourage my listeners to check out your book to learn more about rum in general, but is there anything that you want to add before we wrap up?
As we started a lot on the appellation, just to go quickly on that, I think it's very important for the consumer and the producers and everybody who loves rum, because it's a collective brand, so people protect it. Mm-hmm. And now there is a big moment, subsidized also with European Union. So Jamaican rum has a GI, Barbados has been trying to, Cuba has it, Guatemala has a GI, which is recognized even by the EU. So Venezuela and so on. So everybody is going into this this trend, you know, to really protect their appellation, their territory, their tradition. And I think it's even better. You will have always a lot of international blends, Navy rums and so on. But then when you really buy a Jamaican or a Guadeloupe or any Guyana also, Demerara now is protected, I think it's good to know that it really comes from these countries. It's not just retransformed or reblended in these countries. So no, I think it's a very, very important movement to follow.
Okay, well, there you go, listeners. Keep an eye on the bottles of rum agricole that you buy and kind of know where they're coming from. Know their origin and maybe make an effort to buy those that are part of this collective collective movement. So in that way, you can support them. And I think with that, I'm going to say thank you very much for coming down, Alexandre.
Always a pleasure.
For the listeners, I will put links to all of his books in the show notes. I'll put a recipe for a tea punch in case you're unfamiliar with it, but I will let you know how you can make yourself one. And just a few things that I want to say before we sign off. I want to thank World Radio Paris for editing and producing, Emily Dilling of Perry Paysan for show note and web assistance, Sun Little for the music that we use, and we'll put links to all these people in the show notes. And as always, remember to drink responsibly. And one other thing I want to say, we've started getting a couple of reviews on iTunes, and we really appreciate getting the reviews. And I like doing the podcast and bringing you what I hope is interesting news, but getting the reviews not only helps other people discover us, but it also makes me realize that I'm not just shouting into a void and that somebody is actually out there listening. So please, if you like what we're doing, drop us a quick review. And until next time, cheers. Shiver.